Welcome to Friend of Maryland. My name is Kat Pause, and this is a fat-friendly space. Today on Friend of Maryland, I share a press release from Dr. Linda Bacon. I chat with Jen Levia, a fat activist and student at Columbia University who writes the blog Fat in the Ivy. And I spotlight a blog from the Fat Chick Sings called The Power of Identification. I apologize that the sound quality of my chat with Jen is not fantastic. Apparently, I was having some technical issues I was unaware of at the time. Kicking off the show today, I'd like to share a recent press release from Dr. Linda Bacon, the author of Health at Every Size. This press release is actually directed at the press, and it is entitled, For Embeds in the War on Fat, Same Old Story? Fleshing Out Your Obesity Coverage. The press release reads as follows. When covering obesity, do you ever feel like you're writing the same story over and over? Americans are fatter than they used to be. Doctors say fat is bad for us. Government and industry says it's costly. A study suggests long-term weight loss is elusive. Health experts advise to keep trying anyway. When it comes to the depressing cycle of failed public initiatives and fruitless personal efforts to trim our waistline, who wouldn't wish for a more hopeful angle or at least some evidence-based alternatives to the same tired storyline? Fortunately, that information is out there, and I can lead you to it. I can point you to expert sources, peer-reviewed studies, personal anecdotes, and reasoned arguments for a new approach to our nation's obesity obsession. I am Linda Bacon, PhD, health scientist, author, professor, and internationally recognized expert on weight and metabolism. With other respected scientists, physicians, psychologists, therapists, dietitians, and others, I advocate the principles of Health at Every Size, or HAAS. HAAS rejects a fruitless focus on fat in favor of a more hopeful, more accepting, more effective, and cheaper approach to improving health. It's all about how you live, not how you look. If you are willing to ask fresh questions about fat and obesity, we can help find you answers. Our community is growing, as is our professional organization and a civil rights organization which advocates our cause. What are some of these new questions that need asking? Everyone talks these days about evidence-based medicine, but evidence is notably absent from obesity science and policy. Ask why Medicare is now covering doctor-prescribed weight loss efforts when there is no evidence that any of them work. Ask why the First Lady is devoting her energies to eradicating childhood obesity when the latest meta-analysis of 55 such interventions showed an approximate mean weight loss of 1 pound. Ask why supposed obesity experts, in their zeal to make other people thin, are ignoring serious physical and mental harms that more commonly result from a weight obsession. In the Health at Every Size community, show me the data is our mantra. Following the fact trail, we can direct you to rigorous studies showing not just that weight loss rarely works, but that it's unnecessary, that the harms we blame on obesity and the benefits we attribute to weight loss stem from factors like how we eat and exercise, not what we weigh, that stable fat poses little lifelong risk, but yo-yoing weights common to dieters are very dangerous, that mortality is actually higher for those with normal and low BMIs than it is for those deemed overweight. Sounds crazy? It comes from the Centers of Disease Control and was published in the Journal of American Medical Association. And that lifespans have expanded almost in lockstep with waistlines, casting doubt on the supposed deadlines and deadliness of fat. We can demonstrate why fat stigma is more dangerous than rolls of fat. We can underline the distinctly unhealthy ways a drive for profits motivates private and public spending on fat. Just one example, the for-profit healthcare company running Georgia's notorious anti-fat kids ads also markets costly, unproven lap band surgery to teenagers. And we can point to ways that governments and individual Americans waste billions of dollars each year pursuing weight loss goals that are not just impossible, but unwarranted. The obesity epidemic is not a one-sided story and far from scientific fact. Get the whole story. Get the skinny on fat. Get me, Linda Bacon, on the line. Have a weight-related question or story to report? Contact Linda for critical perspectives and connections to additional experts and resources. Linda has been interviewed and quoted in national TV and radio broadcasts and in blogs, reports, and feature articles and outlets including The World News with Diane Sawyer, Good Morning America, New York Times, and Prevention magazines. She has also addressed significant professional gatherings, including the American Dietetic Association and the UCSF Center for Obesity Assessment, Study, and Treatment. More information can be found on her website, in her online press kit, and in a more detailed press introduction at lindabacon.org. This press release is strictly an act of brilliance. It's genius, really. Some people might see it as maybe a bit of self-aggrandizing, but really what it is Linda challenging the press to show multiple sides to a story or to ask more critical questions of the obesity pandemic discourse that we so normally hear. And of course, best of all, she's providing sound arguments that can be backed up with evidence and with empirical science as to why what we in the Health at Every Size movement, and also those of us in the fat liberation movement, have been saying for decades. Joining me today is Jen Leyva, a fat activist and student at Columbia University who writes Fat in the Ivy. Jen, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
So we find ourselves now in the midst of another Fatchin February, which is very exciting. Are you excited?
I am so excited. February is one of my favorite months, mostly because of Fatchin February.
So for my listeners, I was just going to say for my listeners that don't actually know what we mean when we say Fatchin February, why don't you explain it for them?
Certainly. Fatchin February started last year. My understanding of it is that it started with Dressy Dress, who hosts the Tumblr dressydress.tumblr.com. And she had gotten out of a relationship and just wanted kind of something to get out of her funk. A little bit of self-care and a lot of fabulousness. She put together Fatchin February. The idea being that she was going to wear fabulous clothes, post pictures about it, and get other people to participate as well, celebrating all the fabulous fashion that is available and that we like to participate in.
So, how do you participate in Fatchin February?
Last year, I wore cool clothes, and no one really knew what I was doing. I didn't really have a Tumblr, and I wasn't particularly vocal about, like, body acceptance and stuff like that. But it was nice to be able to read other people's blogs and see their pictures and kind of feel like I was a part of the community, even if it was more of a, even if it was more as a voyeur than anything else.
Yeah.
But this year, I've gotten a little bit more involved. I'm still wearing fabulous outfits because it's February and, you know, that's what you do. And it was February 1st, and I was kind of sitting eating lunch, and my friend noted that I was wearing my second outfit of the day, and it was only lunch. Yes, this is accurate. This is a statement of fact. And I'm wearing my second outfit because I'm really excited that it's Fashion February. And she kind of looked at me perplexed. And I said, well, kind of described Fashion February, notably that I'm going to be wearing fabulous clothes. And she was a little confused or perplexed. She's like, oh, is there like a fashion show or something? And I looked at her and I said, there will be. So I got to the internet and a little bit of on-campus planning to try to contact some people who would be able to set me up with a venue. In getting in contact with other New York City-based fat activists, fat chinesas. And we have something in the works. We're still nailing down some important details, but I think it's going to happen this year.
Well, that's really exciting. And so that will be in Manhattan?
Yes.
And are you trying to do that sometime in the month of February?
Yeah, we're hoping for the last weekend in February. So it will either be Saturday or Sunday, the 25th or 26th of February.
So,
interrupting you.
Oh, no, that's all right. Keep going.
We've actually decided to turn it into a bit of a fundraiser party for No Lose. No Lose is a yearly conference. I believe it happens in San Francisco, but it might move. It's a conference for fat queer conference. I haven't been, but I've heard amazing things. And we're gonna try to turn this fashion show into a fundraiser for them.
Well, that's fantastic. Maybe you'll get to go.
I hope so. I'm tentatively planning on it with lots of tentatives.
So if someone else was interested in being like a spectator to Fats in February, so they're not sure if they want to actually kind of jump right in, but they were interested in kind of just checking it out, how could they do that?
There's a Tumblr that's called factionfebruary.tumblr.com, and they've been moderating a lot of it and reblogging some really fabulous outfits, kind of getting a sense of different people's taste and style. On Twitter, there are two hashtags. The long one is Fashion February, but the short one that I think gets a little bit more use is FatFeb, F-A-T-F-E-B, short for Fashion February. And different people have been posting outfit pics and describing what they've been wearing, and it's kind of general excitement for February.
So I know that across my Tumblr at the moment, I'm getting lots of great pictures of rad fatties in all different kinds of outfits. So there's some that are quite kind of, you know, fashion-y. There are others that are way more laid back. But one of the things that I really like about it is that they oftentimes will tell you about the outfit. So they'll tell you like where they bought the things. And some of them even identify like the sizes that they wear. That way, when you're looking at it, you can get an idea if it's something that you could find in your size as well. Is that pretty standard?
Yeah, most of them have a tag that's OOTD as an outfit of the day.
Oh, clever.
And people who do like style blogging kind of use that throughout, regardless of Fashion February is on or off. Identifying garments and locations of where to buy things is pretty common. And I actually find it particularly useful when I'm looking at something. Like, that's really cute. And even if I don't want to buy the exact same thing, if you can find a new store or you didn't realize that H&M has something that's a size 14, that's hippie. I'm not normally a 14, but, like, she's not on my 14 either. Like, maybe I should give it a try. It encourages me to be a little more open-minded and, like, excited for fashion.
Well, and I think for me, like, what I like about it is that, again, just kind of the range and diversity of what different people are wearing and how they're mixing things and kind of some of the chances that they're taking. So I have Kath Reed, actually, from the Fat Heffalump. She comes on the show quite often. She and I are quite close. And, you know, she often talks about, you know, kind of like the fashion don'ts, you know, for fat people that we're told. So, you know, don't wear bright colors and don't wear stripes and, you know, don't wear this and don't wear that. And what's so great about fashion, and especially the way it's highlighted in Fashion February, is all of these awesome fat people, a lot, mainly women, but breaking down those kind of barriers and, you know, breaking through those fashion do's and don'ts for fat people and just saying, this is what I like to wear, this is how I like to look for myself. And sharing that is quite brave, I would imagine.
Yeah, I'm always inspired by fashion in that it's about celebrating whatever, like celebrating your body and wearing clothes that make you feel good. There's somehow all these rules about like what fat people can wear, but there aren't that many rules for thin people.
Yeah.
And so, you know, presumably it's totally okay for a thin person to wear like the most unflattering garment, and that's fashion. But if a fat person does it, then it's just, like, a disgrace, and we're going to, like, go find them and tell them to, like, put on their, like, their officially sanctioned muumuu. Like, that's all you can wear. And clearly that's not the case. Like, we can wear fabulous clothes. We can celebrate our bodies. We can celebrate taking up space. We can celebrate it by standing out and demanding attention and not sitting back and passively accepting whatever society is allowing us to have in the, you know, Lane Bryant clearance section. We can do more than that, and we do.
So for those of us who are in Manhattan, Is there any way for us to, like, be involved or be able to see parts of the fashion show?
Absolutely. We're still trying to nail down a specific time and venue, but it will be on Columbia's campus, which is located at 116th and Broadway off the 1 train. And for anyone who wants more information about the event or to be kind of more included or be involved, they can reach me by email at scottandleyivy@gmail.com. And I'm also on my Tumblr and Twitter and rather accessible, I'd say.
Well, that's great. Jen, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you.
Well, I will look forward to seeing and hearing more about your fashion show, and we'll have to get you on after it happens, and you can tell us all about it.
That sounds like a plan.
All right, bye.
Bye, thank you.
In the spotlight today is a post from The Fat Chick Sings. The Fat Chick Sings is the blog of Jeanette DePatty, who is The Fat Chick. Check her out. So this post is entitled The Power of Identification, and it was posted today, February 7th, 2012. Quote, I remember when I was very first starting to accept my body, when I was what size acceptance folks lovingly refer to as a baby fat. Someone who is new to the notion that beauty and health happens at all sizes. I had read some statistics that indicate that fat is not a death sentence, and that it helped, but something was missing. Then I went to my first NAFA convention, and a whole lot of things changed in a hurry. The reason was simple. It's one thing to talk about size acceptance. It's a whole other thing to be in a hotel with several hundred other fat people who were dancing, romancing, swimming, singing, exercising, sharing, and generally having a heck of a good time. I honestly never believed that health and happiness were possible at every size until I saw it on a grand scale with my own eyes. Finally, I had found a group of with which I could identify. That is what is so very dangerous and damaging about fat hatred and fat bigotry. We shame fat people into believing that they are dangerously other. Like Frankenstein's monster, we fat folk are another species, incapable of blending with society. It's bad enough when we do this to adults. But it's especially damaging when we do this to children who may not be mature or sophisticated enough to understand that being shunned is a failing of the hater, not the hated. And we do this to children who may be in a somewhat sheltered environment where they may feel that they are the only fat kid in class or even the whole town. That is one of the reasons why groups like NAFTA and the Association for Diversity Size Acceptance are so very important. I'm proud of my role as vice president on the ASDAH board and for the work I'm doing with NAFA LA. And I'm deeply grateful that I have my amazing colleagues with whom I may work, dream, and share. And this is why the work that Marilyn Wan is doing with the I Stand Against Weight Bullying Project and Reagan Chastain is doing with the Support All Kids Project is so important. Imagine the impact that hundreds and hundreds of size-positive people and messages can have on a child who feels isolated and alone. What would it mean to a child to look up and see a billboard in their town depicting kids who look like them and are healthy, happy, and comfortable in their own skin? You don't just have to imagine it. We are very close to realizing it. We need just over 200 people to donate to the Stand for Every Body project in order to unlock an amazing $5,000 challenge grant from More of Me to Love. Today is Ask a Friend Day. Ask a friend to donate just $1 to make this dream a reality for kids of size in Georgia. End quote. Thank you for joining me on Friend of Marilyn. Make sure to tune in next week for a new episode only on Access Manitou 999 AM. Closing the show is Kate Campbell with Sing Me Out.
Down in Mississippi on a winter's day, they laid his little girl in an early grave. Only the good Lord knows the tears he cried.